And to get a sense of where they are, we have this audio travel guide from New Hampshire Public Radio's Dan Gornstein.
All right. Before we set off on our tour, some basic facts. New Hampshire is the first in the nation primary, but you knew that. The voter profile breaks down like this. 30% are Republicans, 26% are Democrats, Independents are 44%. They're the ones with the political muscle. Climate, it's cold. New Hampshire's biggest city? Manchester. And that's where we're going to start our tour. Specifically, downtown at the Merrimack Restaurant. The Merrimack is the political landmark in the state. As we go inside, look to your right. Check out that wall of photos and letters and checks from all those candidates, all those primary seasons. Any candidate knows if they want to win, they've got to stop in here. But Democratic Party Chair Ray Buckley says one thing they should think twice about is running the office space upstairs.
Gary Hart was up there, a number of congressional campaigns. Bob Kerry's headquarters was here. Pat Buchanan, Dennis Kucinich is up there now. But nobody's actually been elected to office that have rented above the Merrimack. Even though the food is terrific and a lot of candidates come here, upstairs is not so lucky.
I go ask co-owner Maria Sadis if the upstairs is unlucky.
Is that what Ray Buckley said?
Sadis says, look it up. Only three people have been elected since she's owned the place. That leaves a lot of losers.
So there weren't that many people renting upstairs. So I don't know what he's saying.
Now, I could take you to a couple of the more traditional campaign stops, like Riley's Gun Shop in Hooksett or Lindy's Diner in Keene, where word is they have great onion rings. But let's go to a place where voters interact with candidates in a more natural setting. Historically, politicians have escaped the campaign grind with overnights at homes like Sylvia Larson's. She's the New Hampshire Senate president.
This is the Al Gore bedroom.
So this is the bed?
This is the bed.
It's a king?
It's a king-size bed. We could have had Tipper here, too.
Larson and her husband Bob had a great time hosting the vice president. They took pictures. They made a scrapbook. The couple even briefly considered putting up one of those Al Gore slept here plaques. You do see those in New Hampshire. After all of it, Bob Larson really felt like he'd connected with the man he calls Al.
You know, Al stayed here. Then I get this picture to my great friend Bob Larson. You know, that's a very meaningful picture for me. Then about a year later, half a year later, I was reading the New York Times that Al Gore was kind of summing up what he didn't like about the campaign. He said, you know, all those photographs you have to sign that say to my great friend. I thought, wait a minute.
Back in Manchester, you're likely to meet someone else who gets to observe the candidates at close range. WMUR's political reporter, Scott Spradling.
Scott, did you want to talk for a minute?
Do you have a minute? Is that all right?
Of course not.
Well, I'm going to wedge myself into your life then. Mic check 1-2.
Good.
You good?
Yeah.
All right, first tell me a little bit about your schedule change here. You've got to go back. Yeah. Tell me about the vote on Iraq and what it is.
The vote is on it's called Omnibus.
There's Spradling with Senator John McCain. But all the candidates eventually end up in front of Spradling's microphone. That's because WMUR is the only statewide television station in New Hampshire. And Spradling is such a fixture on the campaign trail, odds are he's seen some telling little moments. Like Mitt Romney in a diner swiping a piece of toast off an abandoned plate. Rudy Giuliani griping about people selling his autographed baseballs on eBay. Then there's the blue-collar test.
And that test is very simple. When the candidate comes into the room, they always come over and shake my hand. The question is, do they go over to the videographer and shake his or her hand? If they do, that person just passed the so-called blue-collar test. If not, the shooters feel like they know a whole lot about that person before he or she ever opens their mouths.
So let's see how some of the candidates have done this cycle.
Mike Huckabee is very good at it. Hillary Clinton is very good at it. John Edwards is quite good at it. Barack Obama can be a hit or a miss, but he's pretty consistent.
Fred Thompson.
I can tell you, he's failed a lot of tests, but Fred Thompson has definitely failed the blue-collar test more than once.
In a certain way, the whole New Hampshire primary is like the blue-collar test. Voters here listen to the candidates talk, but as important, they're watching their behavior for unscripted moments when a candidate slips and actually reveals something about themselves. And those moments can make or break them. Republican Ron Paul's noticed it. He says New Hampshire voters expect the candidate to engage on a very personal level.
I'm not a very good campaigner. I don't like to interrupt people. That's my libertarian nature. But in some states, you know, they might not like to be bothered or interrupted. But here, they almost look up and they're expecting you to interrupt them, and they want you to say hello. And if they don't know you, they want to know you. And I think it's distinctly different from every place that I've campaigned.
By the time primary day rolls around, you've heard this a million times. New Hampshire voters take their first-in-the-nation primary status very, very seriously. Lifelong Granite Stater Doris Nisbet learned just how seriously a few years ago. She was with her dad in a hospital room. His Alzheimer's had taken a toll. But on this night, she saw a glint of something. He was sort of with it.
So we're watching this, eating Cheetos, and he says, "Baby, I need you to make me a promise." Now, I'm thinking he's going to ask me, "Take care of Mama." So I said, "Anything, Daddy." And he holds my hand and says, "You have to promise me never to change your party affiliation." And I thought it was funny, and I'm sure it was partly the Alzheimer's, but, you know, he just seemed so clear that night. I don't know, it was huge. I guess it was a huge thing because he was talking to me, really to me. Sorry, I'm getting all teary. Anyways, truth be told, I hope my mother's not listening. I'm probably more of a Democrat than I am a Republican.
Are you thinking about breaking your promise?
No, I'm not breaking my promise. I'm just thinking about trading with my husband. I'll vote for the Republican candidate he likes if he votes for the Democratic candidate I like.
Last stop, the Barley House in Concord. They've got the perfect thing to wash down a political tour.
We do have a campaign trail ale on draft that's made by Long Trail.
Who's buying? I know I need one. For NPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein in Concord, New Hampshire.
Dan would never drink on duty, of course. Well, you know the New Hampshire primary is this coming Tuesday. We want to take just a moment to review the political calendar for the next month or so. First, there's the Michigan primary. That is 1 week after New Hampshire. Michigan, an industrial bastion and blue-collar stronghold.
And the candidates will be vying there for the labor vote. Then they will jump in their planes and head south to South Carolina.
Right. At least the Republicans will, because they have their South Carolina primary on January 19th. The faith factor is going to come back into play in a big way there, especially for Governors Huckabee and Romney, who will be facing South Carolina's big conservative religious base.
And that same day, also out here in the West, in Nevada, the caucuses are held also on January 19th. It's the first big test in the West and familiar territory for New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson and also for Arizona's John McCain.
Okay, a week later, the Democrats are in South Carolina, where John Edwards was born. It's also going to be an interesting test for Barack Obama, since the black vote is traditionally very strong for Democrats there.
Then all eyes will be on Florida for the January 29th primary, when we get reacquainted with Rudolph Giuliani.
And the drama continues as the candidates focus on 22 states for the Super Tuesday primary, February 5th.